At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Rocking with you on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. As we're watching NC State putting the finishing touches on Duke here. What happened? This kid missed a dunk, Matias? What was that?
Not only did he miss a dunk, Carver, I think it's a technical foul for grabbing the ball on the rim. This is a disaster. It's a disaster right now.
Absolute disaster. So they gave... Wait a second here. Let me catch up. They gave him a T for hanging on the rim, this kid? Middlebrooks?
Yeah, they gave him a technical, so it's a free throw and they get the ball back.
And the ball. If they make the free throw, it'll be 71-67, make it a four-point game, and then you're in, a three-pointer, and you're really, anything can happen here. So, wow, this kid, you're right, Matias. Think about the difference this game would be if he just dunks it and there's no technical. Straight dunk, it's 73-67, they'd be up 6 points, and there wouldn't be any of this free throws in the ball. Wow, unbelievable. Instead, see, this is what changes games. Right here. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard here, Carver sans Lisi, as Joe's out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. And plenty going on, tons of college hoops to talk about. We've got the Players' Championship. We've got a big NBA slate Friday night. Not that many NHL games on Friday night, but a lot of college basketball games. And we have some NFL to discuss as well. I think there's even, and I'll give Matias a chance with this too, I think there's even a fight night card on Saturday night. I'm pretty sure that there is. Because when isn't there a fight night card? So I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a fight night card at some point here. And I'll have to ask, oh, geez, I just looked. There sure is a fight night card. I mean, I couldn't pick these guys out of a lineup.
There is. It's not for the Fairweather fan, Carver. It's not for the Fairweather fan.
Not for the Fairweather fan. Who are these names? Are you kidding me here? This is what they're giving us? Wait, we'll save it, Matias. I don't want to start the hour with this. I can't start the hour with it. I will get you after one of the breaks.
That's a good idea.
We'll get you after one of these breaks. You can tell me how Brian Battle is going to beat Ange Lusa here on Saturday. Who? On Saturday night at this, this has to be at the Apex. There's no way they'd let people pay money for this. This better be on regular ESPN, too. This can't even be on Plus. What an awful card this is. NFL, here. And we're going to do all the championship week stuff. There's been some wild games here that are setting us up for Friday, where you get probably from a couple conferences, you get another round of quarterfinals, four games. And then you get some semis in the Big East and the ACC and a few others. But first, let me go through a couple of the NFL things from Thursday, because there were several, as there's still teams signing guys, making deals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Devin White to the Eagles, which was late on Thursday night. So he gets $7.5 million. Of course, Devin White been with the Bucks. Should have been the let's call it like it is. Should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl when the Bucks beat the Chiefs. He goes to the Eagles. The Eagles got a couple guys I saw on Thursday. The Bills signed Curtis Samuel, who has been with Washington, 3-year, $24 million deal. You know. Well, that's all fine and good. They need more than that. And I've saw all these next gen stats about how fast Curtis Samuel is, and I get it. The Bills need some speed on the wide receiver position, but you gotta find more than that. I still say the Bills are either moving up in the first round for one of the big wide receivers, or they're getting some kind of wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft. I just can't see how this is that Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins are what they expect Josh Allen to go to work with here. So we shall see moving forward. Who else? What else did we have here? Eric Armstead from the Niners ended up signing with the Jaguars. Sam Howell got traded to Seattle for honestly like nothing. That was like a straight give up by Washington. I know they swapped, I guess it was third and fourth round picks. There might have been an extra pick thrown in there too. I mean, I don't think Sam Howell was that awful with Washington this past year, and I'm sure some people would disagree with me on that sentiment, but I didn't think that he was that bad. And I think that part of why Washington is clearing him out is one of two reasons. Either they don't want to have, you know, maybe May or Howell, it's... And there's a North Carolina thing there. Who knows? Maybe they don't like each other from back in the day, whatever it is. But I still think they're taking Jaden Daniels anyway. And they've brought in Mariota now to be the backup there because he's going to play a similar style as somebody like Jaden Daniels. And I think that that's one of the things you need to match up with who they're looking to add and who they're looking to bring in. You want a backup veteran quarterback who maybe can play a similar style of the quarterback that you're going to bring in as the first rounder. And I see that with Mariota, you know, maybe having Jaden Daniels be the guy. Because it seems like that. I mean, those numbers have changed. Me and Joe were talking about this the other day. And the number for the second pick has now moved to Jaden Daniels at minus 150. So that's a massive move, considering Drake May was minus money really before the combine. And now to see Jaden Daniels at minus 150, that is a massive swing that you've had in that. Elsewhere, there was also Ridder got traded too, right? You got rid of Desmond Ridder. And believe it or not, Matias, they actually got something back for him too, which is even the more stunning thing. I don't think it's stunning that the Falcons traded Ridder because out with the old, in with the new, with Kirk Cousins coming in. But the fact that they actually got like a wide receiver or somebody who can actually play for him, and it wasn't just like a seventh-round pick. I mean, Rondell Moore, say what you want. I mean, he had some big games. Yeah, he's not, you know, wouldn't be in the upper tier of wide receivers, but he's not a stiff either. So I know Matias is getting the break ready here, so he can let me know what he thinks of that.
No, I love that pick for the Falcons. You know, picking up speed at the wide receiver position. Now they have Mooney and Rondale Moore. I know I'm not in love with the Mooney pick, but at the same time, the speed kills.
But that's look at what you've added now around. Now you're talking about, you know, it's not just London and Pitts. You have a couple of other guys that are out there and actually make somewhat of a difference. And that's so important. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159 here with you. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. And he'll be back tomorrow with us on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Other than the Howell trade and the Ritter trade, there's not much else after that. The league's going to look into tampering, yeah, sure, on Barkley and Cousins. That'll never happen. The Bills also lost. They lost, like, a bunch of guys. That Dotson from their linebacker, Terrell Dotson, he went to Seattle. He was so good for them when he played. Tim Settle, who was one of their defensive linemen, he went somewhere, too. The Bills lost a lot of guys. I know a lot of it was, you know, cap, and it is what it is. You gotta shave things off a little bit, but they're gonna be a different team next year. Be a much different team after some of the moves they made, but they still need to get the wide receiver. That is for sure. All right. And did they move anybody's number really move of any significance here? Now that it's kind of settled down, like it's like Monday, Tuesday was heavy, and then Wednesday, Thursday, there was a little bit more. It's gonna start to slow up. With the NFL. It'll be like another couple days of small moves, and then everybody will get back to focusing on the draft and focusing on what the Bears are going to do with Justin Fields. That'll be where all the energy gets spent coming soon. I think the team that moved probably most, the Texans moved up to 20-1. Eagles moved to 16. Everything's still the same up top. I mean, after the draft's when you really have the best idea. And when you can really start to focus in. Like, it's hard to play these futures right now. It just is. I mean, you never know. I mean, the Jets 30-1 right now. I mean, their quarterback might be, going to campaign rallies by the time September rolls around. So, anything's possible. That was the story of the week, huh? Aaron Rodgers. Vice President Aaron Rodgers. Sure. We have a ton of college basketball that we have to discuss. A few things from Thursday. What a job by NC State beating Duke. And they tried their hardest to, you know, kind of let Duke back into that game. Right, Matias? I mean, the kid hung on the rim at one time and gave him the tag. And then the other kid couldn't make a free throw to save his life. But the lucky thing for them was that Duke couldn't hit any threes, which is really why they lost. And that's usually, you know, these teams like Duke, you know, they were 5-for-20 from downtown. You know, they shoot 5-for-20 from downtown, and they were 8-for-14 from the line too. Now NC State was 11-of-20 from the line. Both teams were awful from the free throw line. That was a poorly played game between those two.
I think this is a great example of how a high seed loses to a small seed in the NCAA tournament, like mistakes after mistakes. And it also shows you how the 13th seed or like a 10th seed or like the 9th seeds, you know, how they'll also play their way out of a great game. You know, when that team that's not supposed to win just plays a fantastic game, they're up by 7, they're up by 8 with about 2 minutes to go. Their fans are celebrating, they're smiling a lot more, they're feeling it, and then they're missing free throws on the 1-and-1s. They're making poor mistakes, not dunking the ball, getting a technical foul, giving the other team tons of opportunities to get right back into it. Fortunately, you know, for NC State, Duke couldn't make a three, you know, if their life depended on it. So they were able to get away with the win. But man, this is just a great trail for us to see for what is about to happen next week. You know, what bad teams are going to blow leads and what great teams are just going to play poor basketball.
Yeah, look, there's been a kind of talk that, you know, UConn and Purdue and Houston are in an absolute class by themselves, and it doesn't matter what draw they get next week, they are going to be in the Final Four. First of all, you can never say that about Purdue because they always lose. Always lose when it matters. So you cannot put them. UConn and Houston, you want to sell me that they're going to be in the Final Four? That's all fine and good. I'd like to see who the twos are going to be in their regions or the threes before I absolutely, no doubt about it, lock it in. It's a different world now in college basketball. It just is. You saw it last year. What you saw last year is going to become the norm. Okay? That is what it's – the days of four, you know, three or four number one seeds getting to the Final Four, I think now with NIL in the portal is over. I just don't see that anymore.
I completely agree with you. You know, my wife asked me the other day, you know, do you expect a big seed to beat a one seed like the time that UMBC beat Virginia? Because I was in crazy, right? And I thought to myself, you know what? It wouldn't be a huge surprise if that happens anymore. Just based off of, like you said, the portal. And just even, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen these, you know, the 15th seed and the 14th seed and even, you know, the 16th seed claw and fight their way to the end. And like you said, the one seeds this year, if it ain't UConn, you know, who really is it? Arizona? You know, I think Arizona played a great game against USC today. It really showed who they are. Great guard play. Yeah, but you're right. They're a glass house when it comes to the tournament. And how about Purdue hanging up in the rafters Zach Edey's jersey next to the Purdue greats even before the tournament starts? Such a Purdue thing to do, right, Carver?
It is. And look, you know I've been very vocal about this, not just this year and years past. I will always fade Purdue. No matter what. And look, I didn't think they'd lose to, geez, I mean, Fairleigh Dickinson like they did last year. But I will fade Purdue on any opportunity that I can get. So I'm actually hoping. I can't wait to see who the 2, 3, and 4 seeds, et cetera, are in Purdue's region when it comes out on Sunday. Because I want it to be teams that I feel confident in. Like, I'd love it if I somehow got Kentucky in Purdue's region. You know, you get a team that can make threes. You know, and I know Purdue could score points, sure. But they never get it done. Ever. UConn can get it done. I believe Houston can get to the Final Four. Houston's damn good. But we saw San Diego State, FAU, Miami, you know, all being in the Final Four a year ago. And remember, UConn wasn't some number one, no doubt about it. I think UConn was, what, a 5 last year? 5 seed? 4 seed? 5 seed? They were on that line. And they went to the national game title and won. So, you just look around, like every week this year during the season, what happened every Monday when the top 25 came out? Well, there was a new number one, a new top five. Because all these teams, they lose. They can be beat. The playing field has been leveled a little bit. So that's something you have to keep in mind on Sunday. When you run out, you want to start betting teams to win regions, filling out your brackets, whatever it is that you're going to do. It is a new day and age. The chalk is not going to walk all the way to the Final Four. Not happening anymore. There's too many good players that move around too often now. And it's going to produce. Now, is it going to be as like last year? Like, look, I don't think you're going to get, you know, three teams out of nowhere like you did last year. Because even Miami was a good team. They were out of nowhere to make the Final Four. San Diego State and FAU were out of nowhere to make the Final Four. But I think you're going to get one, maybe two teams like that this year. Maybe not three. I think definitely one. Good chance two. And that's why I've been building the portfolio, as they say, with a lot of these teams that are 75 to 120 to 1 to win the national title. Because I feel one or two of those teams is going to make it to the Final Four. And it's going to be a lot easier for us to piece that together once we get the bracket in our hands on Sunday night. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. More to do on the grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard here. I'm going to go through all these college basketball games for Friday, along with a little something, because obviously anybody who's playing on Friday, they played on Thursday for the most part. Except, I guess, the Big Ten and the SEC, right? They're double bye. You're going to see all the big teams in those conferences for the first time on Friday. So Purdue hasn't played yet, Northwestern, Illinois, etc. And on the SEC side, of course, you get the heavies in Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn, and Alabama will join the party. But there's a lot to do. That's for sure with all of these games. But first, I said I would give Matias a chance here. Now, technically, your main event streak is over, right? Because you did have the O'Malley kid last Saturday night. So technically, the main event streak's over, correct?
100% it's over. What do you mean? We don't. Not only did we choose the winner, Carver, I gave you how we won. I gave you by the decision. We nailed the main event. So yeah, baby, we're back. We're back. We're back in action. And you know what? We're taking Ty Tuivasa to get back in the winner this weekend. Ty Tuivasa, Tui, baby. Ty Tuivasa taking it home back to Adelaide and getting his victory after a 3-fight losing streak. I think he gets a job done
against
Marcin Tybura.
He's an Adelaide guy? He's an Adelaide guy?
Yeah, an Adelaide guy. He's fought top competition for his last 3 fights. It hasn't gone his way. I think this is a good notch on his belt for a level of competition. I think Marcin Tybura is a good fighter, but I think Tuivasa will find his distance and he will land and put Marcin to bed for sure.
Man, this fight is on ESPN+. ESPN probably said, we can't put this over the air. There's just not a name anybody knows on this fight. So who else do we have here? Brian Battle. You got some guy here who's a minus 700 favorite. Are we kidding me here? Kennedy, I'm not even trying to pronounce that one.
No, Kennedy and Sichukwu, definitely, I think that number's inflated. That number's inflated against the former Tennessee linebacker, Ovin St. Preux, former Tennessee football player volunteer. Ovince has been in this league for so long, man. It's tough for me to see him as a plus 475 underdog against Kennedy. You know, Ovince once fought John Jones for the belt back in the day, so it's crazy to see him as a plus 475 underdog. I do like Brian Battle at minus 185 against Lusa. And you know what? I also like Gerald Meerschaert via submission against Brian Barberena. Besides that, man, this card, it's hard to find some winners right here because it's up in the air right now. Isaac Dolgarian versus Christian Rodriguez. If people want to see a great fight, just like enjoy a good fashion fight, especially with these two guys who are both lions, Isaac Dolgarian and Christian Rodriguez is the way to go. I think that this is the best fight on the card by a mile.
Wow, how about that? There you go. And that's the okay. So that he's minus 194. This Dolgarian. So. I mean, some big odds here. You don't really have any close. I guess the main event's the closest one. That's the closest one in terms of odds. Is the last.
It is, man.
Night.
And we're going. We're going with Tuivasa. Let's go.
All right. Well, now I'm going to put him in a parlay, Matias. So now it's on you. So we'll see. It's on you now. Put him in a parlay.
Here we go, baby.
Better get it done.
The Russian roulette rolls again. Let's go.
Not like the guy that fought Poirier last Saturday night. Ugh. Yeah, he got me. That guy.
Did he watch that fight? Did he see the fight? Did he watch that fight?
I watched the highlight of him winning it. Yeah, but who's the guy he beat that I took? The guy with the long
name? Benoit St. Denis.
Yeah, he's on the list. I'll never back him.
You should do yourself a favor and rewatch that whole entire fight and enjoy it. Just enjoy it. It's going to be painful because you're going to realize how close you were to cashing that parlay. It's going to sting a little bit, but then you're still going to be able to enjoy a fantastic, fantastic fight. You know, just you're going to be.
I only find the ones that I win in fantastic, so that's why I can't.
World class.
Those are the only fantastic fights to me. The ones that I actually win.
Sometimes you just gotta smile and enjoy a good old fashioned slobber knocker, man. That fight, I rewatched it again today. It's crazy how something could change from one direction to another so quickly. You know, you would have never guessed that Dustin was gonna win that fight a minute prior to him winning it. It's incredible. You know, from literally laying on your back, on your stomach, on the canvas, arms stretched out, legs backwards, your opponent's on top of you, cradling you, multiple ways to finish the fight, and Dustin Poirier figures out a way to get out of that position, and then he ends up finishing the fight just shortly after that. It's unbelievable, Carver. It really is. It's crazy.
It truly is unbelievable. I agree with you. We mentioned that NC State beat Duke, so that was a big upset in the ACC on Thursday night. Providence beat Creighton 78-73. So Providence, one of those, you know, you had about four teams in the Big East, St. John's, Seton Hall, Villanova, Providence, who all have been hanging around this bubble. And all your whatever your choice of bracketologist is, whether it's our guy who we love, Mike DeCourcy, who's with us on Coast to Coast every week, or if you like the Lenardis and the Jerry Palms and everybody does this stuff, you know, you could have found any of those four teams anywhere from a 10 seed or an 11 seed to the play-in game to the first four out to the next four out. There's a very wide range where all those teams have been sitting. So Providence had a lot of work to do coming into New York this week, and they have started it fairly well. They beat Georgetown, of course, on Wednesday night, and then beating Creighton on Thursday night, 78-73. So I'm interested to see. We'll have to take a look around, because the bracketologists, they do a lot of extra work this week. You know, they update their bracket usually every couple of hours or after every window of games, and see where that's moved Providence up and down, because you obviously have St. John's, who's going to play Friday night in one semi, after beating Seton Hall, and they got a big task facing UConn, of course, which I believe is, what's the number there? 9.5 for UConn in that game. And this, I found this to be stunning, too. They showed this on the broadcast. The first time St. John's has been in the Big East Tournament semifinals since 2000. In 24 years since St. John's been in the last four of the Big East Tournament. Tells you how bad things have been. But sure enough, first year with Rick Pitino, looked like a year that was going to end very poorly. He called the players all slow and fat, and they haven't lost since. That's pretty much what he did. He calls out all the players, and now they're ringing off wins. Well, they got one more big one to ring off. See, the good thing for them, too, is that it's a game that all the suits and the Crack Crab and Lobster Committee that picked the tournament, they're all going to be watching that game. And even if St. John's lost that game by a bucket or something, close effort, that'll help them. They just can't get completely smashed in that game, especially if Providence is going to continue to win. So that's something. The Big East has a couple of teams that are still alive here, along with the Heavy and UConn, to see who could move forward. San Diego State had that tremendous game against UNLV, which went to overtime. And they ended up winning it 74-71. That was a fun game between those two. So San Diego State moves on in that Mountain West tournament, where they're going to play Utah State on Friday night. And it is heavy hitter club in the Mountain West, man. You got so many of these teams that are going to be tournament teams. They've played great basketball all year. That Final Four, those two games at the Thomas and Mack on Friday night in Vegas are going to be outstanding. I think they have a, do I have a number for that San Diego State game? I do. Utah State getting 4.5, huh? Utah State plus 4.5. What do they do with San Diego State this year? Let's find out. San Diego State beat them by 14, and Utah State beat them by 5. So they split the season series, each one at home, and you're giving me 4.5 points. Now, another reason why we could be getting that is Utah State, I guess you could say, didn't look impressive having to go to overtime against Fresno. Both teams played overtime on Thursday. Man, I like Utah State with the points in that. That's another game that I feel like is going to be right down to the last second, right down to the last possession for us. Other teams of significance that need to get things done, or at least that tried to or didn't on Thursday. You had Texas A&M beat Ole Miss, which was a big win for them. Although they're kind of there, I've seen them on some next four outs. I think they got a lot more work to do than just beating Ole Miss. They might have to win two more games, to be quite honest, get themselves to at least the semis, maybe even the final, in order for them to probably get enough. And you get that's the one thing about the SEC with teams like Texas A&M that are going to play. You know, you're going to play heavies.
You're going to play heavies. And Texas A&M will play... Who do they have? Kentucky. So they get a good crack at it on Friday night. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Carver sans Lisi, Joe out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. As we have a lot going on. We're going to get ready for college hoops here on Friday. Very big day. And lines are going to get a lot smaller. Because you've got, it's not going to see really hardly any more double-digit lines. Those things are going to start to become, thing of the past here as we get down to the nitty-gritty in these conference tournaments. So whereas you go, you got to remember, you had so many games on Thursday. It almost gets cut in half on Friday. Now, there's still a few that have four games, like we said, Big Ten, SEC, American. They're still rolling with their quarters. So they're going to still have the full run all day. Conference USA has their semis, I guess, going on. But you have it goes from just get smaller and smaller. Saturday, you'll cut it in even more, and then we'll get the selection Sunday. And these teams that play their finals on Sunday, I still can't figure it out. But they need need TV for that, so that's why that all happens. They got to have a couple games on Sunday before the brackets are put out. That's why the Big Ten, and you hear the committee say it every year too, those Big Ten final and the SEC final, unless it's something that has a team that wouldn't normally be in unless they won. They already have those teams seated anyway, and it usually means absolutely nothing to them. Let's see what we have on Friday here. Why don't we start... Big Ten, Wisconsin and Northwestern. So Wisconsin completely smashed Maryland on Thursday. I mean, they beat them by like 40. Double bye for Northwestern in this spot. Now, Northwestern this year, these Northwestern and Wisconsin games. Wisconsin beat Northwestern at home 71-63. I think that might have been their only meeting. You don't get everybody. You don't get everybody twice in the Big Ten anymore, obviously, because there's a billion teams in the league. But yes, that was the one meeting between the two. So Wisconsin did beat them in that one. Northwestern's been very good this year, but I will say, this could be a spot where Wisconsin can catch them. You got that second game of the day. Remember, Coach was telling us how, it's your first time playing. You really don't get any warm-up. You got a team that's already played there the day before, and they ended up beating them by 31, by the way. They led by 40 for most of the night. The final ended up being by 31. So Wisconsin's actually 3.5-point favorite in this game, and that tells you everything you need to know right there. Northwestern's very spunky. I wish this was, I wish this was a little bit lower. But it is what it is. Wisconsin minus 3.5. I think they'll take care of business. They played really well on Thursday. Northwestern, been sitting around for days. Give me a shot with the Badgers in that one. Second game of the day in the SEC on Friday is going to have South Carolina and Auburn. Of course, they're in Nashville. Now, these two teams played... One of these games was on a Saturday, and me and Joe were on opposite sides of this. Now, this was the game. No, that was on a Wednesday night. Remember when South Carolina in that game, they were catching 11.5, and this was right before South Carolina started to really slump, and they were real hot coming off some big wins. And it was 11.5, and I gave Joe the business, and Auburn beat them by 40, 101-61. They absolutely smashed them in that game. So they beat them by 40, and now they're laying 7.5. South Carolina, of course, has played now after they got the win over Arkansas. Give me South Carolina with the 7.5 on Friday afternoon.
You know, that's one. That's an easy one to say to the kids. This team embarrassed you last time out. Can we give a little bit of a better effort? That's all you need to say. And they should be able to give you one there. So +7.5 with the Gamecocks down in Nashville. What else in the afternoon? South Florida, who also has been sitting around waiting to play. They need to, most of these bracketologists say they need to win this tournament to get in. They don't think that they would get in as an at-large. Now, we've had some good teams dropping here in the American. I know Memphis obviously lost to Wichita State. But USF is -6.5 against East Carolina. So -6.5 for them. The second game is the Wichita game. They're playing UAB. Now, Wichita's already won twice. They beat Rice on Wednesday. They beat Memphis on Thursday. Number early on for this one, UAB -4.5, as we always like to do. What do they do during a regular season? Wichita beat UAB at their place, 74-66. And it looks like that was their only meeting this year. That was their only meeting. So they beat them. Give me Wichita +4.5. A little more lightning here for Wichita and what's been a little bit of a crazy American conference situation so far. Some few upsets in that league. You had a big upset in the MAC with Kent State beating Toledo, who was the one seed. They're going to play Bowling Green in the semi. For Kent State, Kent State's not a bad team. Kent State, in fact, is 1.5-point favorite in this game. Give me Kent State, -1.5 against Bowling Green. Semis in the Big East. This is a 5:30 East tip on Friday, so they moved this up. Obviously, it probably has a lot to do with TV, why they moved this up. Fox wants to be, it's actually on Big Fox, believe it or not. They got to be having both Big East games on Big Fox then. I'd have to say that's probably right. Let me see. No, second game's on FS1. That is weird. So Fox is having a game at 5:30 on Friday night, and they're not having a game after it? All right, either way, Big Fox for St. John's and UConn. At least they got a good one. St. John's needs it bad. Getting 9.5, 145.5, as I said before. First time in the semis of the Big East tournament since 2000 for Patino and the Johnnies. Now, they did not beat UConn this year. UConn beat them by 13, which was also at the Garden, I believe. Yes, it was. That was on a Saturday afternoon. And what about in the first meeting? So I'm pretty sure they played twice. They did. UConn beat them by 4. So St. John's, you know, by 4 at UConn's place, 13 at the Garden, but it was a close game. St. John's led at the half in that game. You got to take the 9.5 with St. John's. I unfortunately can't because I'm in New York. But you got to take the nine and a half with them. That's the game. They're going to give everything in that one. And they've showed you this year they can play with this team a little bit. Haven't been able to beat them. But they've shown for at least 3 out of 4 halves that they can hang around with UConn. So hopefully they're able to do it here on Friday night. Ohio State will play Illinois, and this interim coach on Ohio State, he's got them on a pretty good run as well. So Ohio State, after chopping them, which I believe they chopped them after the Wisconsin game, if I remember correctly, they beat Purdue, lost to Minnesota, beat Michigan State, beat Nebraska, beat Michigan, beat Rutgers, beat Iowa, which was, of course, the game on Thursday night. Now they play Illinois here in the quarters. Illinois beat them by 12 in Columbus back in late January. I think they run out of gas here. We're going to lay it with Illinois. Laying it with Illinois. Ohio State out of gas. Big total, too. I like the over 154.5 probably more than anything else. Texas Tech, who beat BYU
early on Thursday will take on Houston, who showed their dominance. They got out to a 16-0 start against TCU and then coasted after that. They will play Texas Tech in the first game at the Big 12 in Kansas City. Houston minus 7.5. And this year between these two, Houston beat them by 23 at home. Probably their only meeting, knowing how this conference goes now, too. They have a billion teams in it. Only meeting they crushed them. Houston showed me on Thursday afternoon that they're extremely engaged, and despite the fact that they're going to have a one seed no matter what, they look like that they're all in to sweep the Big 12 in their first year in it, regular season and conference tournament. I'm laying it with Houston, minus the 7.5. First game of the night in the ACC, North Carolina and Pitt. 7 o'clock tip in D.C. Pitt was dogs against Wake Forest. They won the game. North Carolina destroyed Florida State on Thursday afternoon. This is UNC minus 6.5. 147.5 is the total. Now, Pitt, I believe in January. Now, North Carolina beat them by 13 at Pitt. It was around the start of conference play. What was the big Pitt win that Pitt had? That was against Duke, right? Yeah, Pitt beat Duke. But they lost the game to Carolina. I feel like Pitt can hang around in this. It seems kind of short. I think that Pitt hangs around with the 6.5. I really do. And the door's open here. You've had, obviously, Duke go down. I mean, this could be... North Carolina gets through this, this is going to be a waltz to the ACC tournament title. This is a tough game for them against Pitt. I think Pitt will hang around. Give me the 6.5. Texas A&M and Kentucky will play, as I mentioned before. I don't have figures on that for you yet. Kentucky, of course, will be favored. Oregon will play Arizona in the first semi in the Pac-12 out in Vegas. So Arizona destroyed USC. Oregon got a little tight with UCLA, but they got the job done. This is first time I think we're saying this since we went through all these games. Something for double digits. 10.5. Oregon getting 10.5 here. I'll take the 10.5 with Oregon. I'll take it. I don't trust Arizona. Don't trust them one bit. I'll go and I'll take my shot with them. And then I already told you, in fact, while we were talking, that Utah State Mountain West game went from 4.5 to 3.5. Give me Utah State. Still at 3.5. I like that one. So there you go. Your college rack. Conference championship week here. On the grid, Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Joe will be back tomorrow. NBA for Friday night. So Phoenix has a back-to-back after losing in Boston against the Celtics, which they did 127-112. They'll be in Charlotte against the Hornets. Suns minus 9.5 in that game, 218 total. The Heat are 6-point favorites in Detroit against the Pistons. The Magic are 6.5-point favorites on the road in Toronto. The Clippers have the second end of a back-to-back after winning in Chicago. They are getting 6.5 in New Orleans against the Pelicans, and we know all kinds of... You know, they got a lot of guys banged up with the Clippers right now. Harden didn't play on Thursday night. You know, Kawhi and Paul George both played, and they both look fine, scoring 25-plus apiece. So they were good to go. But on a back-to-back, I'm not so sure, which is why you're getting the 6.5 right there. Spurs getting 10 at home against the Nuggets. And the Hawks are in Utah against the Jazz with the Jazz minus 1. Flat 224, the total there. That is the stay away game of the night, if I've ever seen one. And hockey, that's very limited on Friday night. There's only a couple games. Anaheim is in Winnipeg against the Jets, so under 5.5 at even money sounds good to me. And the Kings are in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Kings are minus 285 road favorites. Great job, as always, by our man Matthias Berbel. Joe will be back with us tomorrow. Enjoy all the hoops. Enjoy the golf. All of it. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets. See you tomorrow on the grid.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.